invite you to turn your Bibles again tonight to 1 Thessalonians, please, in chapter number 3. I want to read the text that we read this morning, plus one verse, and bring the message that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for tonight. Let's stand together when you find your place there in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, and we'll read the first 11 verses together tonight. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, as you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Amen. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture. Let's read, let's pray, and then we'll be seated and try to bring the thought. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, for the privilege we have to be back in the house of God. Thank you for the morning together, and Lord, what you helped me with. I want to thank you for it. And I pray tonight that your Spirit would manifest the presence and the power and the grace and the glory of our Lord Jesus to every heart. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd grant liberty that I might preach the Word of God. And I realize without you, I can do nothing. I pray you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, you'd touch my body, my throat, and help me with that. I pray you'd grant me the power that I need and the grace that I need to preach this message to people. And I pray, Lord, that it find a place in their heart, that it might bring glory unto thy name and prosper and bless and help them in their Christian faith. May God's perfect will be done. May sinners be saved and hearts changed and God's people revived. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our thought tonight is located in verse number 11, and where Paul is writing to these believers in Thessalonica out of a great heart of love for them. And he writes these words, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." I believe Paul is saying here that it is God's will that we come to where you are and see you face to face. It took 5 years for that to come to pass, but God brought it to pass in His time. And I believe that the scripture here where Paul said, "Direct our way unto you," that Paul is referring to the will of God. And I want to preach for a little while tonight. Please try to stay with me and help me. But I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought of discerning God's will. Amen. Discerning what God's will is for your life. Understanding what God's will is for your life. We know that it is God's will that we abstain from fornication. And that's not talking necessarily about physical fornication, but more spiritual fornication than it is physical. That is God's people going after other gods, departing from the God that loved them and going after strange gods. But, you know, finding and then walking in the will of God, I believe, should be a primary concern for every child of God. I really believe that. That if you're saved by the grace of God, there is only one perfect will of God. I don't believe in the theory of God's permissive will and God's perfect will. You're either in the will of God or you're out of the will of God, one of the two. And it ought to be our primary concern, of you and I both, to be in that very absolute, perfect will of God for our life. For it's there that not only will we walk in perfect peace, but we will also please God and be spiritually enriched by the gracious blessings of our Lord. May I say the greatest blessing that God can give is in His will. You take the people of God, the nation of Israel, and when they came up out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt, God blessed them in their wilderness wanderings. God provided them with food to eat. God provided them with shoes on their feet. God provided them with clothing to wear and water to drink. He provided them with all the necessities of life. But I want to say, my friend, that it was only not until they got on the other side of the Jordan River did they enjoy a land that flowed with milk and honey. Not only when they got there, they finally realized what it was to be in the perfect will of God. I want to show you something. It was always God's will for them to get there. That was His desire and His will when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. But you know where they encountered their greatest battles? In the land of promise. Don't you ever get the idea that because you're having problems, you're not in the will of God. I think that is one of the fallacies of the hour, is that if people have a problem or trouble or difficulty, they immediately get the idea that we must be outside the will of God. For if everything was going smooth, that's what it means to be in the will of God. That's just not so. That's not so. And no matter, I think, how hard we try, we're always going to be failures, or we're going to fail at some degree in finding and staying in the will of God. You know, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him into the perfect will of God for his life. But you know, when a famine came to the land, that Abraham found himself sojourning back down in the land of Egypt. I got completely outside of the will of God. And because of the famine that was in the land, the hardship that came to his life, and he let that hardship drive him into a place where God's blessings were not as real and precious in his life as what they were before. Now, I want to show you something. If we're not careful getting out of the will of God, it will only lead to more sin. You know what Abraham said when he got into Egypt? He told his wife Sarah, said, "Don't tell them you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister. Because if they know that you're my wife and you're fair to look upon, they're going to slay me and take you." And it was there that old Abraham told a lie. Now, he hadn't been out of very, very long until he lied, told a lie, and added sin unto sin. Now, I want to say that, if you run from the will of God because there are troubles in your life, you mark it down in your book that it will only lead to more sin in your life. You can only do that. I know that's a fact. And there's always going to be opposition. And there's always going to be hindrances to walking in the perfect will of God. Satan does not want you in God's will. Sin does not want you in God's will. And the world that we're living in does not want you in the will of God. And there's always, the devil will always use these other two elements along with our flesh, that if he can lead us astray and get us out of the will of God, he'll do so. You know why? We're not as effective outside of the will of God as we are right in the perfect place where God wants us. I read one time where Jack Hiles made this statement. He said, it's not so much the where as it is the what you're doing in your life. In other words, if you're a super-duper soul winner, it don't matter where you're doing it at. Everything will be all right. But I'm telling you, nothing could be farther from the truth. Place does make a difference. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, He wanted them in the Canaan land. When God brought Abraham out of Ur, God wanted him in Canaan land. And you mark it down. God is not only God. God's perfect will for your life includes a place for your life. And I learned a long time ago that place is where God plants us, and we better bloom where God plants us in the perfect will of God. A lot of times the grass looks greener on the other side and it ain't greener. Grass is grass is grass is grass. Anywhere but in Canaan. And there's green pastures in Canaan. And there's still waters in Canaan. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, the grass always has a better flavor in Canaan than it does outside the will of God. Mark that down. I want to preach tonight on discerning God's will. There's going to be hindrances. There's always going to be adversity to the will of God. Paul found adversity in his life in trying to seek the will of God. He did here. He desired to see the face of these people and perfect their faith for them. And no doubt Paul had prayed that he might go to Thessalonica. But ladies and gentlemen, it took 5 years for God to answer that prayer in his life. Now, I don't know what God was doing for Paul in those 5 years. But I do know he was working somehow in his life for Paul's good and God's glory. Because God could have just as easily took Paul there the next day. But he took 5 years to get him there. I'm here to tell you that, hey, God's will is not always made known to us in a flash of a pan. You're going to have to lay with God and stay with God and walk with God a little while to discern the will of God for your life.
Amen.
And oh, that is right. And God has only one will, and there's going to be roadblocks in finding it. But it may be harder to prove it than it is to find it. I've heard men say and ask me, what do you think God's will is for my life? I don't know. But I have found this out. That as a rule, it is more difficult to prove the will of God and stay in the will of God than what it is to find the will of God. But somebody said, preacher, how do you get that? Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, or brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm telling you, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to have to just get down to business with God and prove what is the will. Not prove it to God, ladies and gentlemen. Prove it to yourself.
Amen.
Had it been left up to Brother Hall, I would have split from this place years ago. But I'm telling you, I've hung in there long enough to prove what is the will of God for my life. And I'm not about to leave unless God writes it in this Bible legibly enough and plain enough for me to tell what He's talking about.
Amen.
I've proved what the will of God is. I like that old song by Brother Roloff, run if you want to, run if you will.
Right.
But I come here to stay.
Amen.
And I think a lot of times we give up too quickly on the will of God.
Amen.
And men have said they've been called to preach, and they've never preached. And they've given up on ever preaching. And it may just be that God has called them, and they didn't stay long enough to prove that to themselves, or to let God prove that to them in their own heart and nail that thing down by the wonderful grace of God.
Amen.
I'll tell you, there's nothing any more miserable than a man God's called and ain't preaching.
Amen.
Miserable creature. Miserable creature. I wouldn't be happy doing nothing else. I can't do anything else. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I've been preaching long enough to prove what is that good and perfect acceptable will of God. Someone has said this. I want you to listen to this statement. There is nothing too small but that we may honor God by asking His guidance of it, or insult Him by taking it into our own hands. Well, sometimes we got the idea these little things don't matter. We forget it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Are you listening to me? It's not always something that is astronomical, ladies and gentlemen, that causes us to get outside the will of God. Many times it's something just very simple and small that will cause us to miss God's will for our life. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, insult God when you don't ask for His divine direction. I've quoted this verse, Psalm 48, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And when we fail to ask God, "Hey, what about where we're going to live?" It doesn't really matter where I live. Oh, yes, it does matter where you live. Not every home burns down. Not every automobile accident happens where we think it's going to. I'm telling you, it does matter where you live. And it does matter where you go to church. And it does matter where you work. And it does matter how you treat your family. And it does matter about your faithfulness to the house of God. Oh, yes, there's just a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen, in the will of God. Amen. That is right. I want to say, first of all, that in discerning God's will, we must be in close touch with the Lord. It is no wonder people don't know the will of God today. We're so far away from God. I'm afraid we've gotten like Peter, that we're not only following Him afar off, but we've got to the place in our life where we've sat down and warmed ourselves around the fire of the ungodly. That Bible still says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." Come on in the house now. I'm talking, hey, walking close to God. How close are you? Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know the will of God." Maybe it's because you're too far away from it. You know, I learned very early in life, the closer I am to a particular object, the easier it is for me to see. Now, you'll catch that after a while. You can't walk afar off from God and discern God's will for your life. That's right. And to draw nigh to God, you're going to have to stay on your knees and stay in the book and stay in the house of God and learn to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Come on now. That's right. You're going to have to be in close touch with the Lord. Saul. You remember the story about Saul? And when Saul went down to the witch of Endor, and went to a witch to try to get counsel from a witch and a dead man. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, a man that's supposed to be a spiritual man is in bad shape when he's got to go to a witch, a known witch, and try to call up a dead man. By the way, I believe Samuel's calling up was nothing more in that passage of Scripture than just one of the devil's delusions in that man's life. He was so far from God. I'm telling you, the devil can slip you a Mickey and make you, oh yes, and make you believe things that's not true. Although it did come true in his life. But listen what Saul said. He said, "I'm sore distressed, and the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me." Does that sound familiar to you? Another man by the name of Samson. When the Lord's Spirit was taken from, the Bible said, he wills not that the Lord have departed. God have mercy, there is a king over Israel and a judge of Israel, and God has left them, and one knew about it and the other one didn't, and the one that did had to resort to a witch and a dead man to try to get counsel. Now I want you to listen to what he's saying. He said, I'm sore distressed, and the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me. Now listen, and answereth me no more. Neither by prophets nor by dreams. I got to think about what he means there by prophets or by dreams. And I come to the conclusion, I think today, we should say that he's not finding anything in the preaching. And he's likewise not finding anything in his own private study. I read the Bible and I get nothing, Brother Hall. And I come to preaching and I get nothing, Brother Hall. Maybe it's because you're too far away to hear the voice. Discerning God's will. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. When we get so cold-hearted, so far from God, that preaching doesn't stir us up. Singing don't stir us up. We can take church or leave church. We can come and go. We can be faithful, unfaithful. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And trouble begins when we drift. What was it Brother Smith said a couple of weeks ago? Drifting too far. Going beyond the point of no return. Beyond the point of help. I'm telling you, some men can get beyond the point of help. Better believe they can. He said, therefore, I don't hear nothing to the prophets, nothing in dreams. Therefore, I've called thee that thou mightest make known to me what I shall do. Can you imagine here is an anointed man asking a witch what he ought to do? But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we can get there. Do you understand tonight that Brother Peter said that it's possible for a saved person to get so far away from God that they would forget that they had been purged from their old sins? I tell you, we can get so far. But a saved man can get so far from God, he can forget that he was ever purged from his old sins. That's pretty far away. Discerning God's will, you must be close to the Lord. But on the positive side, there is a positive side to that. I remember a man by the name of Paul. And Paul found himself in a bad situation. The Lord said, fear not, Paul. I got much people in this city. And besides that, he said, you must testify of me in Rome also. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, there was every hindrance in Paul's life that could be there to keep him from going to Rome. They tried to kill Paul. The devil tried to drown him in the sea. There was every kind of a hindrance, every kind of adversity. You know why? Because it was God's will that he go to Rome and preach the gospel to that crowd down there. I'm telling you, when God's got a will for your life and a place for your life, there is something there God wants you to do in that will. On in the house. And old Brother Paul headed out with the rest of that crowd for Rome and got into a storm called Euroclydon. You ever been in any storms? Some of you's in some storms right now and don't even realize it. Or you don't care one of the two. God help us when we get so far away that we don't care anymore. But Paul got in that storm, and they feared that every man on that ship would be lost. Now, come on now. It tells me there was nobody on that ship but Paul that was near unto God. Here's what Brother Paul said. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not left loose from Crete. And have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as God told me it would be. I'm telling you, God hath told us how it's going to be in that Bible, and we better learn that it's going to be how God said it's going to be. And we're not going into the kingdom without tribulation and troubles and trials and difficulties. And the devil trying to hoodwink you and get you outside the will of God. That's right. Come on in the house now. How much difference? There is one king of Israel named Saul that was so far from God that he asked instruction from a witch. And another man, probably named after that king by the name of Saul, later named Paul, that's so close to the Lord that he's on a ship in the midst of the sea with the storms raging. And he's still close enough to God. Tells me Paul didn't fear the elements. Paul didn't fear what man could do, and Paul didn't fear the devil. But he did fear God, and he stayed close enough to God to discern the will of God. And he realized that God spoke to him back yonder in Corinth, and God also spoke again.
Amen.
And confirmed exactly what he had told him. Amen. I want to say secondly, remember the Lord never guides contrary to His Word. Never. Guides contrary to His Word. Do you remember the story of the prophet of Judah? And he went to Bethel and prophesied against Jeroboam and Jeroboam's altar there in Bethel. Cried out, old altar, and prophesied against that. And Jeroboam got all in a tizzy and reached out to take hold of that man. And the Bible says that when he did, that man, that king's arm withered, it drew up and withered. And he cried out to the prophet of God and said, Pray for me that God restore my hand like it was. And immediately, when the prayer was prayed, his hand was restored. And here's what that prophet said. Here's what Jeroboam said. I want you to come home with me. I want you to drink water and eat bread in my house. And here's what the prophet of Judah said, 1 Kings 13:9. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. But I'm going to tell you, there's another Mosebach prophet in that city. And that old prophet heard about the man of God from Judah, from his voice, and said, Saddle the axe and go after him. And the old prophet of God went after him. And he said, God spoke to me and told me you're to come back to my house and eat bread and drink water. And I'm telling you, that man was a fool to believe man rather than believe God. And I'm here to tell you, people get in trouble today when they'll believe man rather than believe in the Bible. Can I say that every answer to your life and every answer to your every need and the will of God for your life can be found right there.
Amen.
In the 66 books in the Bible. They're there. And you know the story how that prophet of Judah went back with that old man of God. And as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. That's an amazing thing. How God wouldn't speak to that prophet about Jeroboam. But here comes a young prophet out of Judah God has talked to Bethel. He sins against God, and now the old prophet is more spiritual than he was. And God speaks to him about the young prophet.
Amen.
And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the word of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drank water in this place, of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water. Said, Thy carcass shall fall, shall not come to the sepulcher of thy fathers. And you know the sequel of that story. How that he saddled up that ass and headed out down the pathway And he met a lion in the way. And the lion slew that man. And when they came out of the city, there laid the prophet of God, the lion there and the donkey there, and yet the lion had not touched the donkey. And I'm telling you, when rebellion and the devil get together, it can make havoc out of the will of God. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I can encourage you. I can do my best to tell you the will of God. I can try to give you some right counsel and try to share what little I know with you. But the bottom line of it is, it's only come from God. It's got to come from Him. And discerning the will of God must come from the Word of God. God's will in God's Word. Amen. Stay with me. Number three. You must have no will of your own, but seeking the very will of God and seeking God's glory.
Amen.
And not your own. I'm afraid that too many people that claim they're maybe out of the will of God or don't know what God's will is, what they really need to say is that God won't let me do what I want to do. Sometimes we better consider God may not want us to do what we're trying to do. Now, I'm going to come down to some personal things in just a minute. You just stay right with me. But you can't have a selfish spirit and know the will of the Lord. Jesus Himself said in Hebrews 7, or by the hand of Paul, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written to me to do thy will, O God. I want to ask you something tonight. Have you come to do God's will or your will? So many times we want to find God's will, and really what we want to do is have God to agree with us that what we're doing or what we want to do is all right. I'm telling you, when I was in Bible college and was getting ready to graduate and went off to Missions Institute for 3 weeks, Miss Hall and I and the family down in Mississippi at Maranatha, I got to that place, and I'm going to be honest with you, I wanted to change where I was going. I wanted to go to Switzerland. But after I finally surrendered to what God's will was and had been for a couple of years of my life, I realized then, if I'd have went to Switzerland, it's not like being in Tucson. You can't get in a car and drive home from Zurich. Don't work that way, and it costs a little more money. Are you listening to what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? I got a little selfish and wanted to go somewhere that God didn't want me, and I've got to be quite honest with you, it caused embarrassment to my wife. She got a chewing out from Dr. Crumpton about it. And it wasn't even her problem, it was mine. He told her, said, you need to get in your chair and sit down and take your place and shut up. But what he didn't know is that I was wrong. I was like Abraham. When the famine hit, I wanted to run somewhere else. When things wasn't working out like I wanted them to, I wanted to trot off in some other direction. Let the Lord, it's time that we realize we're where God wants us to be. We're doing what God wants us to do. And come hell or high water, we're going to rejoice in that and enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. That's right. So we don't, no will. You can't have a will. You're going to have to, no room for a selfish spirit, and you're going to have to be devoted to Christ. To discern the will of God, you must be devoted to Christ, dedicated to what He wants in your life. Have you ever asked Him? Like old Dr. Dan Truax said, preaching in chapel when I was in Bible college, said, some of you young preachers here, tell me you're just sitting around waiting on God to open the door. He said, have you ever tried to knock? Sometimes all you got to do is turn it up. It's not locked. I guarantee you God wants you in His will as much as you want to be in God's will. Probably more than you want to be in God's will. Because we've got the idea, as long as we're slipping along, floating along, things is going fairly well, we're all right. But I'm telling you, God's payday is not always on Friday. You may have a job and you may have an income and you may be getting along pretty good now, but payday is not always on Friday.
Amen.
And like I said a while ago, God blessed Israel in the wilderness, but it was in Canaan He wanted them. And God can bless you, if you're saved, with certain blessings where you are. But only in the perfect will of God, ladies and gentlemen, will you find the greatest blessings and enrichment from Christ. Stay with me. Number four, we must establish and maintain a dedicated prayer life. Remember when David was at Ziklag? Everybody listen to this. David was in Ziklag and went off to battle that he never did make. And when he came back, he found Ziklag burned with fire. His wives were gone. His family was gone. All that he possessed was gone. David lost everything he had that day. And I'm going to tell you what he done, and you know what he done. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after the truth?" Now, I want to show you something. Come on in here. Just hang with me a minute. There is one man that lost everything he had, and God said, "Pursue it, go after it. I want you to go after it, and I'll give it back to you." But on the other hand, there was a man named Job that lost everything he had, and God didn't tell Job to go after it. He said, "Set still." That's God's will, ladies and gentlemen. Can you get a hold of that? And it all came to prayer. David said, "Shall I go?" God said, "Pursue after him, for you shall surely recover all." Yeah. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when we've lost everything we had, go after it. Pray and go after it if it's God's will. If it's not God's will, keep your hand off of it. It was going to cause you problem in the long run, down the road. Some things will cause you trouble down the road that you're not aware of. You can't see tomorrow. God can. I most got the idea, well, if I could just get a lot of money, I'd be happy. May not be God's will. That money God made don't cause you more trouble down the road. Come on now. He told David, said, "You'll surely overtake them without fail, recover all." That's God's will. Number five, we must walk by faith and not by sight. Abraham in Genesis 22, when he went to offer Isaac, and Isaac asked a question, said, "Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb?" And the Bible said there in verse 8 of that chapter, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Now notice what he says about Abraham in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "That in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. I'm telling you, Abraham had enough faith to believe that if he went to that mountain and God allowed him to take that boy's life, that God would raise that boy up. Because God had promised him back here that it was in that boy that the seed and the promise would come. And sometimes you're just going to have to, by faith, believe that it's God's will for you to do what you're doing and go on doing it. And I know some of you here don't like the job, but it may be God's will. Some of you may not like where you're at and what you're doing, but it may be God's will. You may not like and enjoy where you live, but it may be God's will. Amen. You're going to have to learn to walk by faith and trust God a little bit. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number five, as the Lord directs, all obstacles will be moved out of the way. As He did in Paul's life. There was obstacles in the way, but Paul on the way to Rome, God removed every one of them.
Amen.
Every one of them. God wants you to learn how to fight. Some of you have never learned how to fight. You're a bunch of spiritual cowards. God wants you to learn how to fight sin and fight the devil and fight the world and fight the flesh and fight trouble and trial and temptation and learn how to lean on Him and overcome them. Amen. Now then, I'm going to meddle for a few minutes and I'm done. And I say God's will for your life begins with your personal life. Personal things in your life. What about God's will for your spouse? Some of you young people that are hoping. I'm going to tell you, don't do like Jacob. And get too anxious, you might wake up with Lee in bed with you. God's got a wife. And God's got a husband that He wants you to have. Now, and only that person will be God's will for your life. The Bible does say, somebody said, oh, God has already forgotten me. No, God hadn't forgotten you. God's not going to write in the Bible and say, and make a statement like this, I will therefore that the younger women marry and keep the home. If God said younger women ought to marry, God's got a possum out there for you somewhere. Amen. He's got a mate. And He may have already saved some of you some heartache. Oh, Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright may have not been too right. Mr. Wright may have been wrong. And marrying Mr. Wrong makes two wrongs, and two wrongs don't make a right. You better wait on the right one. Amen. And by the way, somebody said, well, that don't include men. Fool, hey, idiot. How's the younger women going to get married if they don't marry a man? Amen. Personal things about that spouse. What about your church? It is God. God has got a will for you. You can believe this or you don't have to, and I know some of you have cussed me for saying this, but in Corinthians, when Paul said, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, he ain't talking about that invisible balloon you can't find. He was writing to that local church, and by the Spirit, you're not here, I don't think, under your own will, but here because of the will of God. By one Spirit, God, by the Holy Ghost, this church, we are here by the will of God. I'm telling you, better, hey, nail down where God wants you in church, and God wants every saved person a member of a church. When you're not a member of a church, you're out from under the canopy and protection of that church offers. Somebody said, oh, I don't know, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, put it like this. When that man in Corinthians had fornicated, Paul said, turn him out of the church for the destruction of the flesh. In other words, get him out of the umbrella of the church and let the devil deal with it. It's, hey, the church is a whole lot more than just a congregating place, folks. And people today, hey, they look at everything about their life rather than where they need. People move without any consideration where they're going to church. Come on in the house. And I say this without fear tonight. The church is more important than school. Amen. If God God wanted me to move, I wouldn't be worried about a job. I wouldn't be worried. Oh, no. I wouldn't be worried about a school. I'd be worried about a church that preaches something. Not a church that offers the right program for my children in school. But a church that offers something spiritual that I can build my life on. Did y'all hear what Ronnie Simpson said this morning? I never thought about it. Of course, there's a lot of things I ain't thought about. My mind don't run too deep. He said, the deeper the building, the taller the building, deeper the foundation. And if you want your children to be something, you're going to have to get them on the right foundation. And the deeper that foundation is laid, ladies and gentlemen, the more they're going to grow. I'm not talking about physically growing. They can be something. Your children, your young boys and girls can be something for Christ. They can be something. They can be an influence to this world. And not every, God does not want every young man called to preach. And He does not want every girl made to a preacher. What is wrong with some good, spiritual-minded businessmen in the community? What is wrong with some spiritually-minded politicians? Amen. What if it was God's will to educate some of these young people in here real good to where they made a pocket full of money and teach them how to give like Paterno gave? You ever think about that? What if God wanted to educate your children with enough education that they could teach their children at home? Are you listening? The church, folks. Of course, the job needs to be taken in consideration. Can I ask you this? What does God want you to do? And by the way, I want to back up right here. John Kennedy said, ask not what you can do for your country, your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Ask not what the church can do for you, but ask what you can do for Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of finding God's will is finding out what to do and how to do something for Him. Old time Baptist church, worshiping God and serving Christ than anything I know.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say this, anybody within 65, 70 miles of Madisonville ought to be a member of Island Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
I believe that. I'm not just saying that, I believe that.
Amen.
Charge you nothing for that. A job. What about God's will for your friends, for your life? Who are you running with? They sometimes are wrong. Hey, the wrong crowd, not sometimes, all the time, the wrong crowd will drag you under.
Amen.
You can't run with the devil's crowd, folks, and know the will of God and be in the will of God. The difference between telling people about Christ and witnessing for Christ and sitting down in their camp and fellowship with them,
Amen.
Sitting across the same table playing euchre with them or Monopoly or solitaire, whatever they play. Old maid or whatever it might be. Rolling dice. I don't have a game in my house where you roll dice and don't want none. Don't like dice. Seven gum 11, rattle them bones. You know what bothers me about places, restaurants that sell liquor? And you know, when I used to visit those. And God delivered me from liquor.
Amen.
I'm on in the house.
Amen.
What about friends? Hey, what about God's will simply where to read your Bible? You ask God where He wants you to read and study. I'm talking about things personal, in your personal life.
Amen.
What about your pastime? What do you do in your pastime? Do you try to work your pastime and your free time around doing something for Christ? If we don't, we're wrong.
Amen.
I don't believe there's anything such as spiritual and secular Christians. We're spiritual. We live in a secular world, but we're not secular. We are on God's payroll 24/7, ladies and gentlemen. You ask God what you ought to buy, your purchases, or do you just fly off and die? Well, I want a home, so I'm just going to buy it. I want an automobile. I bought a little red automobile, and I'm going to tell you, I learned real quick, I ain't buying another out of the will of God.
Amen.
You really pray about your purchases? You pray about buying clothes? Somebody said, oh, preach, that's too simple. Is it now? Don't you believe as much as the Bible teaches about the attire of God's children that He's concerned about the clothes you wear and the kind of clothes you wear, what you look like when you're out in public and in the house of God both?
Amen.
I know He does. What about your possessions? And I'm closing. Your finances.
Do you ever pray and ask God, what do you want you to do with your money? Or is it me first and whatever's left over to Him? Do you give God the table scraps? Or do you give Him the T-bone? If you give Him a 12-ounce T-bone, He will in return give you back a 24-ounce porterhouse. You're not going to outgive Him, folks. Have you really prayed about it? I was sitting out at Ben and Angie's. The other night, and he had his computer sitting there and had pictures. There come a picture of his home where they built it and sold it. I said, look at there, Ben. He said, I don't even want to, Dad. But I get sick every time I look at it. Can I just, and I don't mean that I'm not being ugly to Ben. But there he owned a home and 40 acres of land. I'm not trying to be ugly to him, but he thought it'd be God's will to sell that and help out some other areas. And now he's paying almost as much for rent as he's paying buying a home. And we're all guilty of that. Of those very blunders in life. May I say, guilty. And it's because we're not discerning God's will for our life. Folks, we're in the world, but we're not of this world.
Amen.
And we've got to tolerate this world, but I'm telling you, we don't have to live like this world.
That's right. Amen.
And if you never found the will of God for your life, don't expect your children to find it for theirs. More than likely, they will not. What about tonight? Paul said, God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way. And is He directing your way tonight? Has He illuminated the pathway? Is it glowing brightly? Are you following Him? Do you know His will? I hope so. Let's stand together.